Our in-depth guest today is Grace Mattioli, Portland-based author of the new novel, The Bird That Sang in Color. Grace's work includes a book of short stories, The Brightness Index, and two previous novels, Olive Branches Don't Grow on Trees and Discovery of an Eagle. Grace worked as a librarian in San Francisco for over 16 years and has held a plethora of jobs, including jewelry designer, food cart owner, shopkeeper, bookseller, substitute teacher, art school model, natural grocery store clerk, short order cook, food server, street vendor, barista, and a giant Twinkie. She's truly a Renaissance woman. In the words of writer Lydia Yuknovich, The Bird That Sang in Color is hugely moving, beautifully rendered, and brilliant. That's high praise, Grace. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Ken. I really appreciate it.
Now, your new book, The Bird That Sang in Color, joins your previous novels, and we mentioned the names Olive Branches Don't Grow on Trees and Discovery of an Eagle, and it tells the multi-generational story of an Italian-American family from New Jersey. Can you tell us a little bit about that family, the Greccos?
Sure thing. My first novel is Olive Branches Don't Grow on Trees, and I originally started writing about this family because I wanted to kind of defy the negative stereotypes around this particular subculture, especially Italian Americans from New Jersey, which I'm a part of. And so the Greccos are neither mobsters nor morons.
And or disco dancers. I'm thinking of
Right. No Sopranos or Jersey Shore stuff here.
And, yeah, I was going way back to John Travolta and Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, yeah, that too. Well, he was technically New York.
Yeah,
so,
I think
a little
Brooklyn,
bit different. But still kind of the same. And there's just definitely that negative stereotype. And it's something that I've experienced my whole life, not as much when I was situated in my hometown in Hamilton, New Jersey, because there it's kind of like most everyone's Italian American. But I realized when I moved out of there that people really think negatively of Italian Americans. So I started writing about this family. And my first book was from the point of view of Sylvia Greco. And in this book, she is trying to make peace with her family, her very feuding family. And I needed to write something about something that I felt passionate about. So peacemaking is one of those things. All three novels are meant to not only entertain the reader, but also inspire them to live a happier life. So Olive Branches Don't Grow on Trees, the theme is peacemaking. With Discovery of an Eagle, the theme is living for the day, seizing the moment, living life fully. And with my new book, The Bird That Sang in Color, it's living from a place of freedom that is not conforming to society's dictates of how we should live and be. The main character is a Renaissance person and is also,
a focal point, though, of the novel. You're talking about Vincent.
A focal point. Yeah, Vincent is a Renaissance person and also lives freely and authentically. And the protagonist, Donna, is very much ruled by society's dictates and decides at a young age that she needs to have these certain ingredients in order to have a happy, fulfilling existence. That is
the traditional ones, the nice home in the suburbs, the husband and the kids.
The kids, the dignified career, and so on. And my whole feeling about the happiness thing is that I'm really passionate about it because I believe it's not only important at the individual level, but on the global level as well. And that's something I reiterate in all my blog posts and on my site, that if people were happier, there wouldn't be all the trouble in the world. And I believe strongly that it's the miserable people, whether or not they seem miserable, you know, externally or not, that are making all the trouble in the world.
You just have to look at the White House yeah. and the former White
exactly.
House and the current
exactly.
Congress to see that. And you mentioned yeah. Donna Greco, who's the main character in the new
yes.
book and also first person mm-hmm. narrator of the book.
Yes.
I should tell the listeners that Donna is also the mother of the characters, main characters in your previous novels, Sylvia's
in
mom
the Greco
and
family.
Also Cosmo's mom. And
yes.
she starts out as a Tucci and marries a Greco, so that's
mm-hmm,
how they get
mm-hmm.
the name. And it takes us from her early years, so starting in 1970, I think when she was 13, to the present day
exactly.
when she's a 60-something grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get, though, to, again, Vincent. There was an actual Vincent, and he was your brother.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he died about 15 years ago, passed
yes.
away. After he died, you found a booklet of his, which you mm-hmm. call a pictorial autobiography.
Yes.
And that apparently led to the book and mm-hmm. contributed to the cover of the book and all
yes.
that, which we'll talk
That's
about.
That's his artwork.
Can you tell us what you found so powerful and generative about Vincent's drawings in that booklet?
Definitely. So I found it similarly the way Donna did. After he passed, I was in his apartment looking through things, and I actually replicated a lot of my own experiences. I found postcards that he had written to me and so on. And I found this book of his sketches. And I think I had sent you.
Yes, I looked
I
at all of them.
I sent you the album.
Yes.
And also in my new blog series, I'm featuring every one of those pictures. So that's something exciting. But when I looked at them, it was twofold for me. First, I realized that he had had a happy life because I was very much, I hadn't led a conventional life myself, but I was under the impression, like most people, that I needed these certain things in order to be happy. And I felt that my brother, who lacked these things, you know, like a spouse and a nice home and so on, you know, the whole nine yards, I felt that maybe he's unhappy and he would have lived longer if he was happier. When I found this booklet, this sketchbook, I realized his internal joy. And for me, I just felt this great weight lifted off my shoulders. Like, you know, he was happy and more joyous than many people that have all those things, that have the whole nine yards, and are miserable. And
yeah, you do a great job of contrasting, Donna's chosen path, which is
right.
the more traditional, as society dictates what makes us happy. And then Vincent's, which is a nonconformist, a Renaissance man, kind of following his own passions and his own talents.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah, Donna realizes, hey, you know, I'm the miserable one. And she was projecting all along that he was unhappy, projecting her own beliefs about what's necessary in order to be happy. So when I discovered this sketchbook, I was so heavy with grief, as Donna was, that it was enough for me to kind of extinguish my guilt about Vincent and know that he led a happy life and that I couldn't have done anything more to see that he led a happy life existence. But about 5 years after finding the journal, I had the same realization Donna had, that what pictures am I going to have of myself at the end of my life? And this realization was so powerful that I started to think of my life in terms of pictures. And I say in the beginning, I distinguish between photographs and drawings. So I started to think in terms of drawings, because I say a drawing is earned, a photograph is easy. And so I thought in
you
terms
probably don't
of
want to
drawings,
tell that to Ansel Adams, but
no. But you know, in terms of, you know, people can always take pictures of themselves, but what pictures will I want to draw of myself at the end of my life? So I actually started, I also draw and paint, but not as actively as I used to. But I started drawing some pictures of myself, you know, doing these things I wanted to do. I made a list. For instance, I wanted to learn the mandolin. I wanted to see the Aurora Borealis. What pictures am I going to have of myself at the end of my life? And that's this realization was so powerful And it changed the way that I lived my life. And it was so profound, I wanted to share it with the world.
For you as a writer, though, I mean, your books, in a way, serve that purpose. But you also are interested in doing more of a pictorial autobiography. Have you already started something like that? You mentioned making a list of things that you do want to do, a kind of almost a bucket list. But have you started drawing some of those sketches? And
actually, I did. And one of my big things was to get my writing out there in the world, because, you know, I just written for myself for many years, and I wanted to actually start producing and getting things out there in the world. So one of my pictures is just a picture of me at my computer screen writing or writing in longhand. Sometimes I write in longhand as well. I started my list. I'm one of those, I hate to be this way, kind of, in a way, but I am really driven. I'm a little bit like a machine, a type A personality. So I did everything on the list plus.
Have you seen the Aurora Borealis yet?
I have.
Oh, yeah. I'm jealous. That's something on my list too.
It's amazing, but you really do have to plan well in order to see it. Like, you have to plan the certain time of year and the location and so on. And also then you're taking a chance, because there's a chance you won't see Aurora. But I actually stayed in a place in Alaska, in Fairbanks, that was solely intended for viewing the Aurora Borealis. They would wake you up in the middle of the night if they spotted it. So I did that. I didn't intend on being a jewelry designer. I always made jewelry as a kid, but it's something I started doing, and I actually sell in stores, in three local stores in Portland. So yeah, I didn't intend on being a food cart owner, but yeah.
Oh, what about the one I wanted to ask you about was the giant Twinkie.
Well, that was in a supermarket in New Jersey, in Ocean City, New Jersey, where I grew up. We lived in the summers, and I had a job as a cashier, but I could not hack it. So I tried, I wasn't very good at it. So to admit, so I was demoted into working the deli at the hot dog stand, but there was some time in between that, and they needed somebody to dress up in this giant Twinkie costume in the supermarket and hand out, you know, and advertise for Twinkies. So that was me.
I grew up in New York, and I think we all said when the world ends, there'll be only two things left: cockroaches and Twinkies, because Twinkies last forever. I don't think there's an expiration date. So one last question, though, Grace. All three of your books, mm-hmm. do you consider them part of a trilogy telling the story of the Tucci and the Greco family, kind of like Vincent's favorite book, Lord of the Rings? Or are there still more stories of the family you'd like to tell beyond these three novels?
Well, I intended on it only being the three. And by the way, they can all be read as standalones. Although once you read one, you might want to read them all. But the new book that I'm working on is going to be told from Vince's perspective, the Donna's youngest son. I wrote a short story about him called The Sane Ones. And it's a little bit more of a statement on basically my time at working at San Francisco Public Library's main branch for years. And, you know, a lot of issues that I've seen around the way America treats their homeless population and their mentally ill population. So, but there will still be humor in it, and it'll still be entertaining.
Oh, we look forward to that.
But I want to add one more comment. I think a lot of people that kind of relates to this current pandemic, a lot of people are using this current pandemic as an excuse to kind of stagnate or stop living or stop learning and growing. And I say it's the perfect time to cultivate a new hobby or resurrect an old one. And I'm hoping that my book, my new book, is a perfect inspiration for people to do this, because it is a tribute to my brother, who was the most Renaissance man, the most Renaissance person I've known. So thank you so much for having me.
Grace, thank you so much for joining us at KABU. We've been talking with Grace Mattioli, Portland-based author of the new novel, The Bird That Sang in Color. You can find out more about Grace and all her work online at gracemattioli, that's MATTIOLI.com. This is Ken Jones for KABU's News in Depth.